as affecting the spiritual life. Then single out certain features of Mother Seton's charism. And finally, the Church's expectations of us individually and culturally as living in these United States. First then, a description of American spirituality. I would, if not define, at least describe American spirituality is not essentially different from any other. In the Catholic Church, couldn't be. Nevertheless, there are certain distinctive features. It is, therefore, a qualifying form of one's approach to God and growth in sanctity as characterized by those qualities that may be said to be typical of American culture. This, by the way, is the way the Church over the centuries has distinguished those men and women who have risen to the heights of sanctity. It is one thing to serve God in one age of the Church's history or one part of the world's geography. It is something else to serve God in a distinctive way in every culture in the world. Here are some of the characteristics that now over the years those who identified American culture describe it as containing. First, our American society has been, in large measure, created and is now being shaped by Protestant laws and institutions. Secondly, the language of the nation is English. And even people who come from other countries, perforce, have to learn English. I can say that with autobiographical experience. I never spoke English at home. But there was no question what I have to speak the moment I left the house. It was English. English is now the most widely spoken tongue in the world. So much so that our present Holy Father, we are surely not British or English or American. He did not even say it regretfully. It seems to me, he said on one public occasion, that the language of the Catholic Church is becoming English. Oh, but those speaking the English language had better be Catholic. That's my addition to the Pope's statement. Again, features of American culture as affecting the spiritual life. the primacy of individual liberty. As we know, it has its glory, it sure has its tragedies. The individual is sacred. Again, a characteristic of American culture is its implicit subordination of church to state. We speak casually of separation of church and state, or as Catholics insisting on the cooperation between church and state, but de facto, the church in our country is subordinate. How well I know to the state. I never dreamt that having taken a solemn vow of poverty, I would no longer or no more think a check that I receive for work that I do, of endorsing that check, cashing it, and keeping the money, then jumping into Lake Michigan where I live. And yet, I have to pay income tax. Lord, spare us. If that's not subordination of church to state, I don't know what is. Again, characteristic features of American culture as affecting the spiritual life. Authority through representation. That's with the bishops. I mean the American hierarchy. Keep telling, especially the present Holy Father, Your Holiness. Sure, we are Catholics. But we believe in, well, authority through representation. We are a democracy. You try to combine those two. Democracy and what I call Christocracy. Now we believe that Jesus Christ, ultimately, through his vicar on earth, one man, figures now are some 900 million Catholics. There may be 900 million Catholics, but they don't like what the Pope is doing. They cannot caucus, campaign, and elect another Pope. Again, features of American culture. Stress on temporal well-being. We have in the United States, and that's been going on for generations, we are the wealthiest nation, not just in the world, but in history. Our laborers, employees, are the highest paid in the world. We live the longest life. We eat more than any other nation in the world per capita. We sleep more. We work less. We are a leisure society, spelled, by the way, L-E-I-S-U-R. Does that have a bearing on the spiritual life? Does it ever? In our United States, we believe in education for democracy. From childhood, we believe an American should be educated so that he or she will contribute to, well, the democratic process. We have extraordinary material resources. And we're talking about American culture as affecting the spiritual life. There's an abundance of highly developed material resources affects the spiritual life. It sure does. How do you manage those resources? How do you use them? As Cardinal Gagnon recently resigned from the Council for the Family told me, my problem, he said, is not that I don't have enough secretarial help to answer my mail. I don't have in the Vatican enough secretarial help to open my mail. And his office is too, under God, and more immediately under the Vicar of Christ, is to be inspiring and informing all the families, not just of Catholics, but of the whole world. Oh, what an examination of conscience. What an examination of conscience we Americans should be making. My one paragraph commentary on America's extraordinary material resources. And you know what the temptation is? To hug them. And those resources will be used by the people living, well, between the shores of the Pacific and Atlantic and the Rio Grande and, well, the Canadian border. With a hundredth of miles of Florida, people in Central America are living not only in poverty, but in destitution. I'm still on the characteristics. Tolerance as a way of life. Of course, we tolerate what we don't like, what we disagree with, even what is wrong or sinful. We believe, I'm not defending, I'm describing, that criminals, condemned criminals, have rights. There's some flaw in the judicial process for a murder of maybe 9 people. The Supreme Court, as you know, to release the person, set him free. Tolerance as a way of life. And finally, a characteristic of American culture is practicality and organization. As Europeans over the years have told me, especially those who are not yet Americanized, but in Europe, we get the ideas, and you Americans put them to work. An organization. We've got everything organized, including crime. Al Capone could not have flourished in any other major city in the world except in the American city of Chicago, organized. Having described some of the characteristics of American culture affecting the spiritual life, I would now like to identify some of the features of Mother Seton's charism. I should say that these features that I will briefly identify are those which the Church herself has identified in both a prolonged preliminary process leading towards the declaration of Mother Teresa as Venerable. You know, there are three stages. There were first the process of discovering, and if it is found, declaring that the person had indeed lived a life of heroic virtue. And that's the most important. Years-long process, after which the person is declared venerable. Then, beatification after some miracles are worked. The Church does her part. As far as she can tell, Elizabeth Seton did indeed live an extraordinarily holy life. And now in effect the Church says, Lord, now it's up to you. What do you think? If you think we're right, would you please work a few miracles? At least two. The Lord provided. Then the person becomes blessed. Ceremony, but not yet canonized. Then, Lord, thanks. How about a few more miracles? Once more, if the Lord comes through and the miracles are confirmed, the person then is, or can be, formally canonized. And once canonized, we believe that person's sanctity is infallibly, hear it, is infallibly immutable. Moreover, that person is infallibly in heaven in the glory of the beatific vision. Back to the features. Now the Church is identified as typical of Elizabeth Seton. First, appreciation of God's grace among non-Catholic Christians. The recognition and the appreciation of God's grace working universally, because God wants everyone to be saved. And therefore also, more specifically, that God does indeed work in the souls of those who are Christians indeed, but not Catholics. How this needs to be stressed, because of the nature of things, most of our nation is not, even professedly, Catholic. And the foundation, in the last analysis, of all the respect that I have for anyone is a recognition of God's grace in that person. That's what we theologically mean by recognizing God, or indeed Jesus Christ in others. The presence and the working of divine grace. Second feature, that the Church in canonizing Mother Satan identified as characteristic of her spirituality, her clear vision, really, at the dawn of the American nation, of the necessity for Catholic education. That's why she founded the Daughters and the Sisters of Charity, and by now their manifold branches. And how we in the United States need to rediscover, Lord, how we need to rediscover the absolute necessity of children being educated in their Catholic faith. I don't say from the dawn of reason, from their infancy. And, as we know, she went through several, shall we say, states of life. As a single woman before she married, as a married woman with children, after her husband died as a widow, and then as a founder of not just one, but of a family of religious institutes. And of course, again, as the Church pointed out, her experience as a mother made her realize, if the Catholic Church is even to survive, not to say thrive, Catholics from infancy must be taught the Catholic faith, and not just what to believe, but how to behave as Catholics. Even while being here in Hamer, I've been in periodic conversation with the father of 6 children to make the kind of money needed to provide for that large family. And the oldest child is a girl, Jessica. I gave her first communion. 6 children. She's 12 years old. And the husband and wife tell me, Father, there are more coming. But how do you provide? And provide them with an authentic Catholic upbringing from infancy. Third feature, concern for the poor. Concern for the poor on every level, but especially concern for the spiritually poor. And often, those who are materially poor do not have access, even say, to the kind of real of upbringing or education that they may well need, given their sometimes extraordinary talent. How well I know, the most intelligent people are not the most wealthy, because nobody told you. To provide an education for the poor. For what? For materially. And having had members of the society as part of her own upbringing, she learned, St. Ignatius, all the schools that he had established to re-educate an ignorant Catholic people in the 16th century as Ignatius. There was no tuition charge in any of our schools. I have to say it. The undergraduate tuition at the University of Detroit, which is my habitat, is now a little under $900 per semester for a 3-hour college course. As you see, the old need to re-examine our consciences for a feature of St. Elizabeth's charism, the transforming power of the Holy Eucharist. And we may say our faith in the miraculously transforming power of the Holy Eucharist. Long before she became a professed Roman Catholic, she already believed that Jesus Christ is on earth. And what he did during his visible stay on earth and what he did during his visible stay on earth were miracles, astounding miracles, on one condition, that the people believed, and that, and this is Elizabeth Seton, the only condition, there's only one, for Christ continuing his miraculous work now on earth is our faith. That's all. It's the same identical Jesus. Provided we believe, and he knows we need it, he is the Almighty God. Become man who is on earth to share with us something of his omnipotence. But we must believe. Fifth feature. Oh, how this needs to be said. And this is the Church's analysis of the only Native American canonized, confronting secularism with a cross. And we repeat it. a nation has materially, the present Pope would say, materially super developed. Secularism, which means this worldism. Saeculum, as you know in Latin, means the world. So what's secularism? This worldism. They come into the world at conception, and the end is when we die. That's secularism. How do you confront this madness with the cross? Meaning what? Professing, proclaiming, following Jesus Christ in a society that either thinks we are fools, or if you're too intelligent for that, then as the world's enemies. If there is one thing typical of Elizabeth Seton, which for her was, you might say, the motto of her life, is Christ's statement. I have overcome the world. But how did Jesus Christ overcome the world? By being rejected by the world, scoffed at, and during his passion, spat at, and finally crucified. This is the language. Christ was crucified by the world. And compared to the materialism or the secularism of the Roman Empire, that crucified its maker. Compared with that paganism, America is secularistic in the extreme. How do you even live in this kind of a society? By embracing the cross. The only weapon to overcome the world is Calvary relived in our own lives. And that's Elizabeth Seton. And she knew in her day, and the church canonized her so we might know in our day. Sixth feature. Obedience to church authority, comma. We read some of her letters. Obedience to church authority, comma, along with personal initiative. What a rare combination. Anybody who has read even a small biography of Elizabeth Seton has no doubt she was a very strong-willed woman. Pardon me. Women are strong-willed to begin with. As every man I've ever talked to admits, when I give retreats to men, they'll smile but just assume, of course, women have stronger wills than men. Father, you are so right. You should meet my wife. It is one of the paradoxes of Christianity to combine obedience, not as a chattel, not as a slave, but as a free, strong-willed American. And of course, it means that we are convinced that when we obey legitimate authority, especially, of course, in the church, we are obeying God Himself. Finally, and again, the church uses this language in describing Elizabeth Seton. Adaptation to American culture, comma, but without compromise. To know what is adaptable and what is absolutely non-negotiable. Clearly, no one as a person, no one but a person who is living a deep interior life can combine that difficult assembly of remaining authentically American and at the same time being thoroughly Catholic. Is not conformism. It's so many, how sadly well we know our so-called Catholic politicians. I am personally against abortion, comma, but no. Take the extraordinary grace and Elizabeth Seton. The church tells us, hear it, is an infallible pattern for us to imitate. I have four expectations of the church, which again, in the documents examining her sanctity, and especially in the formal declarations of the church, say that she is indeed in the glory of God and a model for our imitation. Four expectations which the Catholic Church has in the light of Elizabeth Seton. First, evangelical holiness in North America. Sanctity among Americans. Not just keeping the bare essentials of the law, but reaching the peaks of sanctity. We can do it. Secondly, Elizabeth Seton has a pattern of the true role of women in the church, and of course the emphasis on the true role of women. What a task American women have to learn from another woman. And the woman can object, but Elizabeth, well, she didn't have, well, the kind of experiences that I'm going through. She wasn't married. She was. She wasn't a widow. She was. She wasn't a religious. She was. You name it, and she was, pardon, it. Third expectation of the church. The strength and growth of Catholic institutions, especially institutions of learning, conducted by religious. so how desperately the church needs. What shall I say? The resurrection of the once flourishing Catholic school system in the United States. Once the glory of world Catholicism. As I never tire repeating, the story told me by a bishop friend of mine after his ad limina visit to the then Pope Paul VI in his private conference with the Holy Father. The Pope asked the bishop, whatever happened to the American sisters that they left, abandoned the Catholic schools? And before the Pope could finish what he was telling the bishop told me, if he thought he lived to see it, Pope Paul VI broke down and wept. One diocese, the one that I live in, Detroit, one community of religious, in 1 year, walked out of 31 parish schools. No wonder Elizabeth Seton was canonized to wake up the conscience of America, the need we have to restore what our nation so desperately needs. I wouldn't be here. There wouldn't be a Father Hardin except for the sisters who taught me. And you trained me. And as I remember from the first grade, and who punished me, I still remember, first grade, Johnny, put your hands out in front of the whole class, 107 first graders, put your hand out. I did. I didn't count the number of times, sister, hit the palms of my hands with a long ruler. Why? Because instead of thought of myself, here I am, 6 years old. They gave us clay to, I said to myself, play with. I am too old to play with clay. How we need consecrated religious women to give us priests in our nation. Finally, I'm still quoting the church. Elizabeth Seton has a pattern and a norm for the progress of the authentic ecumenical movement. A divided Christianity is a scandal. Over 4,000 distinct Protestant denominations in the world. The divisions in Christianity, we know, are contrary to the will of Christ. If there is one prayer of our Savior the night before he died, Father, that they may be one, as we are one. Elizabeth Seton teaches us what the true ecumenical movement really is. Loving those who differ from us in our Catholic faith and loving them sincerely and deeply, and wanting to share with them the fullness of what we possess, but never compromising on what we know God became man to reveal to mankind. Saint Elizabeth, Satan, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.